Hey guys, if you follow us on Instagram, you may already know that we took last week off to create more space for the important conversations happening in our country, world, and online.
Black Lives Matter, period.
And we support those protesting.
The episode we are about to release is lighthearted in tone. And if you're looking for something lighthearted right now, we're happy to be that for you. If that's not what you need right now, we more than respect that.
As always, when you listen, we hope that we make you laugh and that we make you think.
We also want to use this time to elevate Black voices, talk more about racism, and educate ourselves.
And if you're listening to us, you may be seeking other podcasts as a means to engage, so we thought we'd cast a couple recs your way. Most of these recommendations came to us by way of Kev on Stage, who's the host of Here's the Thing and the co-host of Love Hour. We also added a few of our own. So if you're interested in learning more about the Black experience, check out Code Switch, The Nod, and Keep It.
If you're interested in race and racism, check out United States of Anxiety and The Stake.
If you're interested in activism, check out Come Through with Rebecca Carroll and Afropunk Solution Sessions.
If you're interested in time and place, listen to 1619 and Floodlines.
And if you're interested in having tough conversations, check out Majority 54.
If you're interested in a little bit of all of that woven together beautifully, listen to Intersectionality Matters.
We've listened to several of these ourselves and are excited to also dive into some that are new recommendations to us as well.
And now we'll let you jump in, as always, to us talking about something that may or may not be relevant to the forthcoming episode. So if you could eternal sunshine something out of your mind in order to re-enjoy it, what would that be? And what I mean by that is just like, it could be a movie, a book, a vacation, a place that you visited, like something that you want to do again for the first time, like specifically that matters.
Wow. Okay, I had a lot of passions rush to my mind based on the prompts.
Just a flurry of passions.
No, I did. Well, I mean, you throw out TV and movies, and truly, like, that's... it. Listen, if you're just joining us, I haven't seen jack shit. I'm no help in that capacity.
Not really.
No, but when you said books, I was like, oh God, what would it be like to read Harry Potter again, not knowing.
That is my initial response as well, is let's get rid of all seven.
That very quickly, yeah. But then, like, all seven of them being fresh, I remember, you know, that's a series that if you were really living in the moment with it, you gobbled some of those books so quickly because you were so thirsty to know what happened next. And when I read things really quickly... hours for people who are much faster readers than I am. I gobbled some of it so fast that when I ultimately reread things, like, later, there's some moments that I did forget. Like, there's one specific fringe character who dies. I'm not going to say it because I don't know where people are in their journey.
Sure.
But
it's respectful.
I remember reading it, like, and it wasn't the first time I read the book, but I had forgotten he died, and it made me so emotional. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I hope that I can experience this emotional death more than once, but it was so emotional the second time I'll never forget.
Oh my God. Would you do that emotional death again?
Maybe. I'd do the whole fucking series again. In a non, like, consumption of media, be it books, television, movies, whatever, I've always said, I did a semester abroad in college, and that was the first time I had ever been out of the country, and there's so many firsts, and, like, I think also as, like, a youngest child who's probably been babied in some ways, it was, like, a moment, I'm serious, listen,
sure.
If my sister is listening, shout out, she'd be like, that's right, bitch, she's like, mom and dad were never as hard on you, and I'm like, I heard, and it's honestly factual.
Yeah.
So, I will say that it was, like, one of the first, not the first time, but, like, in a bigger way that I also felt like I was figuring everything out by myself. And, like, I'm not saying that, like, parts of high school and college and stuff didn't feel like that, but that moment was, like, poignant in that way because it's, like, I couldn't even really talk to people because we were on, like, a 7-hour time difference. So that experience of, like, being out of the country for the first time, never having done it, you know, being really far, having, like, everything new and novel, navigating stuff you didn't understand. It's probably the first time I, like, really was in, like, a big city and learning, like, public transit in a way that wasn't, like, my college town or the city I was from.
Yes.
There was a lot to that that I was, like, I would love to do again because I I've always said, like, if I could do, like, part of college again just for the hell of it, it would be that, because it was such a great time.
Yeah.
And I think I would have a lot of joy in re-experiencing all the firsts that happened in that.
Mm. I feel like when I think about travel, I was like, oh, there's so many great trips. Like, I'd love to re-experience, but I don't know if I want to experience them for the first time. Like, I don't know. I like going new places a lot, but I like having places to return to where I feel like I kind of know the lay of the land. I know the layout of the city a little bit, and I can, like,
yeah, you know the spots.
Know the spots, but also then you have an opportunity to, like, go deeper because deeper. You already know, like, the main kind of tourist stuff.
You don't need to do, like, the trip for the first time to, like, experience a place for the first time. But also there's wonder in that, I guess, too.
Definitely. Definitely. But absolutely, I would erase Harry Potter. I think as obvious an answer as it is, that is my choice. That's hours of entertainment back for me.
Oh, my God. And honestly, I'm, like, literally, I record this podcast in a room where if I just tilt my eyes, you know, slightly up and to the right, I'm like, all the books... And there some different editions of the books. Shout out again to Study Abroad. That's where I have other countries' editions.
Oh, yeah. Harry you gave books. Me a different edition once. I appreciated that. Did. Book three.
Hey, oh, it's the best one. Anyway, that's subjective. It's subjective. On that note,
the answer is six. But yes, go ahead and welcome.
Also, welcome to Why Are You Like This?
Welcome.
And then I get, like, a little misty, and I'm like, should I be caring more about animals than, like, people?
But it doesn't have to. He licks all the beakers and flasks and tubes until he finds it.
No. Are you making this up?
I'm not. This is how it was discovered. Hands-on, in-the-field experience to hydrate youths.
Which I know you're like, great, Austin, so you're drinking that fake water again. This month in December, please stop douching your genitals.
Soul-searching to find their true self.
I mean, that is this podcast, so... It's something we can all enjoy together. Oh, welcome to Why Are You Like This, the weekly podcast where we dissect some part of our culture, Harry Potter being maybe part of our culture, I would argue, yes.
It is.
Fully. Human behavior, pseudoscience, real science.
Magic.
Just whatever we're magic, whatever we're noodling on, be it menstrual blood burning at any given time, in order to determine why people are the way that they are. That is Jamie Ryan, who I didn't know had book six as a favorite in Cincinnati.
And that's Austin Williams, who I used to call Mooney in Chicago.
Oh. Hi.
Just a little embarrassing grade school nicknames. It's all right.
Oh, well, I love this. I love this question. And I know what the topic is tonight. And I'm excited to get into it and introduce you to it. Because, you know, listen, you sent me some resources that, like, I know we're going to get into. And I have some feelings about that you don't know about yet. Which
I
is
know.
Just,
we're going to get into it pretty soon.
Listen, things are going to happen. So tell the good people listening who maybe there's one of them who wishes they could re-experience this podcast for the first time.
Oh,
we can't know. Wouldn't that be? That'd be the highest compliment. I don't know that you're out there,
but it
would be the large praise.
Let us know.
Let us know. Okay, so what the fuck are we talking about tonight? Tell us, okay.
Tonight, today, whenever, we are talking about hypnosis.
Oh, listen.
I'm shocked it's taken this long. I know I keep saying that.
I'm like, I'm on my singing part of this. Like, when I get in, I'm not a singer, but I sing with enthusiasm, which, you know, may or may not be positive for the rest of you.
An enthused musicality. I appreciate it.
Thank you. But I just want to say... I want to preface this topic and say you asked me last week before we recorded this that you said, hey, I'm thinking I would like to record hypnosis. And you're like, I just want to check with you first because I know how passionately you also could feel about this. I just want to make sure you didn't feel like you had to do this episode. So get ready, listeners, because I think you're on a ride for people who passionately want to talk about hypnosis.
I just didn't want you to feel like I was stealing your subject.
Which I truly appreciate, and it's not the first time we've had that conversation, but about like any given topic, but this, it did resonate with me, and I am excited.
So before we get into the, I don't know what we call it, research that you did, sort of case study, I don't know, before we break down Austin's experiences.
Okay.
And the experiences of others.
A case study. Bless you.
I am just going to read a Wikipedia.
A Wikipedia.
definition.
Go ahead.
Because I feel like we all pretty much know what hypnosis is. We have a general understanding from seeing like TV hypnotists. I don't know, like people on Oprah or like people at bars or...
On Kimmel, they've had a guy a couple times. Yeah. They made one of the cameramen pee himself or something, which I felt bad about. But you
there's
know.
Ethical issues that I have with hypnosis, but
For sure,
you know it's complicated. Anyway, when I was planning for this episode, I really expected to find like a juicy, like historical, like story of hypnosis gone wrong or something. But like, I really came up pretty dry.
Oh wow, that does also surprise me.
It's truly shocking, and I think that like all of the accounts are just kind of like. Whack. And so like, how do you choose one? There's not that much information anyway. So I'm not going to live in the history really at all tonight. We're going to talk about...
I'm fine with that, honestly.
Me too. We're going to talk about Austin's hypnotic experience. That's what I'm going to call it. And
I love this because you don't even know what I'm going to say yet because you don't even know what happened. We'll get into it. I feel great about this.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about susceptibility to being hypnotized.
That's what I want to hear.
And then we're going to talk a little bit about like MRI studies and some MK Ultra stuff. So we're keeping it fun.
Listen, we're keeping it fun, which is what I want. And also like the parts of hypnosis that I am most interested in personally. So thank you for pandering. Mm-hmm. Are not the history of it so much because I feel like it'd probably just be like tied to some witch hunt shit and some people trying to turn a buck. You know, those are the people who get popular enough in things oftentimes are con artists. Mm-hmm. What's up? Mm-hmm. But I do want to know about the brain psychology and like what people think is happening and if they think like certain people are more susceptible to it than others.
And let me tell you, the research is pretty inconclusive, but we will present it. So
listen, I'm here for it.
Without further ado, the Wikipedia page for hypnosis, at least part of it. Here we go. Hypnosis is a human condition involving focused attention, reduced peripheral awareness, and an enhanced capacity to respond to suggestion.
Okay.
There are competing theories explaining hypnosis and related phenomena. Altered state theories see hypnosis as an altered state of mind or like a trance, marked by a level of awareness different from the ordinary state of consciousness. In contrast, non-state theories. So people are debating whether you're in an altered state or not, basically. So
okay, yeah. And I think that is up for debate.
Yes, absolutely. So in contrast, non-state theories see hypnosis as just placebo effect.
Right.
And kind of redefining an interaction with a therapist or a form of imaginative role enactment.
Okay, okay.
So... I don't know. This is one of those like pseudoscientific woo-woo things that like I do think has like some reality, and maybe later down the line in humanity when we understand more about our brains, science, waves, etc., we might know what this is. But it just feels like right now there's really not a lot of concrete information. There's just a lot of arguing back and forth and some loose studies.
Sure.
So before we talk about susceptibility and the government studies that they did, I want to talk about what I had Austin do. And
I just want to preface. Can I just
do you want to just describe like what I sent to you cold? I don't know.
I'd like to describe exactly how you sent this to me.
And I just meant listen to it so you know what it sounded like. I didn't mean do the whole thing.
Listen, here's the thing. Sweet Jamie Ryan this afternoon sent me a text that was like, oh, actually, wow, I didn't really, now I'm I was going to read the text verbatim and it's not what I thought it said.
Am I vindicated?
Yeah, you're actually vindicated. Oh, wow. Okay. So Jamie sent me a text that said, watch at least part of this at some point right before we record later tonight. I'm going to be honest. I called her ass out when we were not recording yet here that I was like, what do you mean you didn't think I would do the whole thing? And she goes, wasn't it like 22 minutes? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, you sent it to me and we're like, do this, like watch this before we record. And I was like, why would I think like I wouldn't watch part of it? But your text actually does says does say, watch at least part of this at some point, which is not at all how I interpreted it. So, you know what?
This is so much better, though. Amazing content ahead of us.
For the record, Jamie doesn't know the ins and outs of this yet, but I did do a 22-minute and change hypnosis that she sent to me earlier, and I have some feelings about it. And apparently I didn't know I was, like, only supposed to, like, get into just at least part of it, but I did the whole thing. And for the record, I did it, like, approximately 30 minutes, not even, like, I finished it like 5 minutes before you called me, honestly.
I know, I was like, really running up to the wire.
This episode, because I was on the phone with my mom, and then I got off and I was like, what's that video I gotta watch? I assume it would be like 5 minutes about something, and I was like, 22 minutes, and I was like, well, I gotta do this now. Maybe it was the panic that made me rewrite the text in my head, probably. Yeah, so I think I did do a hypnotic experience.
Yeah. So Austin's hypnotic experience, what I'm talking about is that in 2017, Samsung released a TV that had a hypnosis program that you could do. And working title for this episode, just FYI, is Hypnosis: Eternal Sunshine of the Samsung Mind.
Okay. I don't know anything about the Samsung parts of this, so bring it.
So Austin did a guided hypnotic meditation, and the goal of it is to erase a television series from your memory so that you can re-experience that for the first time. And this program was created by Samsung and was preloaded on a handful of TVs. They no longer...
Which I can't believe that it was.
Yes. So it's the program or the service is called Unspoil Me. It's an unusual bit of marketing, but the company said that they worked with two hypnotists to develop it. And it claims that you'll experience your favorite TV series as if it were the first time.
Mm.
So I read an article of this girl, Katie Collins, who did an article for CNET in December of 2017, right after this program came out. And she did the hypnotic meditation, and she decided to erase Big Little Lies from her mind. And I was
I've never seen the show, but perhaps some people are fans and wanted to live it for
you should
the first
really
time.
Watch it.
Oh, have you seen it?
It's very, very good. I wish I could erase
it. Is Nina Dobrev on that?
No.
Which one? Okay.
Nicole Kidman, Reese Witherspoon, Zoe Kravitz.
Oh, Big Little Lies. I was thinking of Pretty Little Liars.
No.
I'm very
not
familiar.
Not to be
okay.
confused, yes.
Wow. Guys, those are not the same show.
Nope. So
anyway, shout out to you, Zoe Kravitz. Carry on.
So I'm going to read from Katie's article, if that's all right, and you can jump in and tell me about your own experiences as we kind of work through what this meditation was like.
Okay, and I want to preface this before you get into it. Jamie sent me this. I almost had this moment where I was like, oh, shit, I got to do this right now. Like, time is a-ticking, as previously disclosed. And I just want to say from the jump, I'm not someone who believes you can be hypnotized from a YouTube video, which was what this was sent to me as. Little did I know it was loaded on some televisions until this moment with the rest of you. But I don't know if you've ever, I don't know how else to explain this. I don't know if you've ever had that feeling of like when you get into a pool and like the sensation is so different from not being in a pool that like you laugh. Does anyone, I don't know. Do you ever feel that way?
I think that I do know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just, sometimes when I get into pools, I start giggling for no reason. Just because it's being in a pool.
I can picture you doing that. Yeah. With your dinosaur.
Oh yeah.
Arms.
I've done it. I think I do it just about every time I get in a pool. Anyway.
Did you do it on headphones?
No, I just played it off the speaker of my phone.
Okay.
I had some giggles at the beginning because I was like, oh, shit. I was like, this is making me feel things. And then part of me got a little scared because I was like, I live alone. I was like,
oh, yeah.
Should I?
The author said the same thing.
Hypnotized, like at home alone. And listen, I'm going to keep chiming in, and she's going to tell you about this woman's experience about forgetting a television show or not. And I haven't put this to the test yet. More on that later. But I will say, just up front, really believe that it did something to me in terms of putting me in an incredibly relaxed state.
In an altered state, if you will.
I don't, altered seems like I'm on drugs or like that I've been fundamentally, I'd have okay. to do more research on yeah. how you define an altered state, to mm-hmm. be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I felt like it put me into a deep relaxation in a way that wow. felt like was outside of my control. I'm serious.
I'm going to do it maybe tomorrow then.
I can't believe I haven't done it.
I can't believe you're leading the episode and you haven't done it. And I did it like a minute ago.
I didn't deem it as important, but I think it really was.
Oh, wow. It like, I felt affected. And so I started laughing because I was like, I think this is working. And then I was like, oh, shit. And then part of me had this moment. I was like, is this going to hypnotize my cat who's in the same room as me? And I also have questions about whether or not she was hypnotized yeah. as well. So... yeah, just I do feel like something was happening, and I want to just preface that again with my assumption was nothing would happen, and then I immediately felt like things were happening.
And we'll get into susceptibility and confirmation and all that later, so that is good to note.
Yeah, we just had to preface that. And now tell us about your girl, and I'll see if I have anything else relevant, but I do feel like I was changed.
That's incredible. So, yeah, I'm going to read a shortened version of this, and you just chime in as you'd like. So she tells
us. Sure.
I put my headphones in, ticked a box confirming that I was, quote, fully mentally healthy, and clicked through the start of the hypnosis. So that's good.
I was not prompted about my mental health.
Yeah, yours was a YouTube video.
Nobody asked me about my mental health. They should have asked me if I was alone. I do kind of worry about that. I felt like at the time, if someone had knocked on my door, I remember thinking that during, because I felt very like, conscious in a different way, mm-hmm. but I remember thinking, I went, if someone knocked on my door right now, I don't think I could get up.
And the girl who wrote the article described a lot of anxiety about someone coming up behind her the whole time. She also did it at home alone.
Okay, heard. Those are, you know what, and if my couch wasn't against a wall where I was sitting, I too maybe would have been worried about that.
Mm-hmm. A lilting Swedish voice told me to relax and focus on the swirling image on my screen.
So, start by focusing your eyesight on the screen. Focus your sight in the middle of the figure and just continue to keep your focus there, because to be able to focus your eyesight is a thing that we humans have in common with all the predators. And the reason for that is probably to enable us to hunt.
I did that.
The voice told me to close my eyes and count backwards from 300. While I was counting, the voice told me a lovely story about trees, which made it almost impossible to concentrate on the numbers.
To the smallest branches and further to the larger branches and...
I could concentrate on the numbers, and the voice prefaces before that, they're like, I'm going to start saying some stuff between the numbers. They're like, it doesn't really matter if you listen to it or not. And I know that I remember like there being talk about trees, branches, and roots, but I was so focused on counting backwards with the numbers that I wasn't really hearing what he was saying other than like some kind of ambient thing happening on. I couldn't focus on the tree words.
Yeah. So she like dives in kind of the other way. So she says, I got to about 282 before I was told to imagine going down 10 stairs to a place of greater relaxation. Did you do that?
Yeah, that was intense. Yeah, okay. For sure.
So yeah, her description of the stairs is intense also. Directions for when I should go down each step were precise and weaved into a moralistic story about an emperor and a chess player.
That's true.
It was true.
And there was wheat, and there was like, he wanted to marry the emperor's daughter. I do remember this bit. And it was like, I love how funny this is. And the emperor was like, no, I'll give you anything else. And it was like, you could get one grain of wheat on your chessboard. Like, he was like, one grain of wheat, but then like doubled the next square over and then doubled the square over. And so he's telling this whole story about doubling all this wheat. And so then there's all I know is like, he had all the wheat in the kingdom and it wasn't enough. And so then he got to marry the daughter. But while they're doing this, they keep being like, doubling things is a lot. And they'll be like, you go down the next step, double your relaxation. Like, while they're telling you this story about doubling wheat.
Know that when when you double something many times, it becomes very much.
I am doubling down. And then the last step, I don't want to jump the gun. You go ahead.
And this is interesting to me because from her description, I don't know how much is her imagination and how much is the guidance.
Okay.
She says, it was during this story, the one about the king or the emperor, that I first had to try really hard not to think about Big Little Lies.
That's funny and interesting. I was not feeling that during the emperor thing.
At so what were you trying to forget, though? I think we forgot to tell everyone that. Austin was attempting to forget a TV show.
We didn't tell, from the beginning, like very quickly at the beginning, they go, think of like before the meditation truly starts, he goes like, think of like your favorite television show. And I was like, fuck, I don't know. And because I, again, welcome back. I don't watch much, but he was like, think of your favorite television show. And then like, think about like, you're going to like, forget it. And like, what would it be like to watch it the first time? And like, imagine that. And they do it really rapidly. And then they go into the meditation.
Mm.
So the first show that came to my mind that I really love that I'd be happy to watch over again was The West Wing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the questions I think they ask you is they're like, did you watch it over time or did you binge it? And I was like, binged. I watched all 7 seasons of The West Wing in 1 month when I ended a 3-year relationship. So,
wow, that is a lot of West Wing.
That was my breakup television show.
Clearly, yeah.
Somehow. But, and it was the first thing that came to mind, and I was just rolled with it. But I wasn't super distracted by it during the meditation when they were talking about other things. I was trying to, just not think about, like, there's a siren outside and, like...
Oh, yeah.
Mind wandering about like my own personal life, and then also just being like, am I being fucking hypnotized right now?
Also
like
that
came up a couple times that I was like, this is real. Like I was like my thought of being like, if someone knocked on the door right now, I don't think I could get up. I did have that thought in this time period.
Interesting.
Anyway, go on.
So she says, the voice said something about the importance of counting, but I know I had skipped step 6 and step 4 and maybe also step 2.
I missed a step, and there was part of me that went, did they leave out? I think the one
Wait,
I missed was
yeah.
5. And I remember, I think I just missed 5 because I was counting the steps and going down with them. And you don't go down all at once. And I remember going, I think they skipped a step because I remember going from 6 to 4.
Interesting. So she says, I felt like the voice was trying to trick me. And by picking up on it, I had passed a test. Or maybe I had failed because I clearly wasn't in a trance.
I don't know. I think like... At the beginning, you use a visual aid before you close your eyes, and it's about, like, your eyes can unfocus and, like, refocus them, and, like, also when you, like, are, like, relaxing, you know, you have a daydream, but you don't all, like, when you have a daydream, you're not unaware of your surroundings, but, like, refocus yourself, kind of in, like, that meditative way. So I had that moment where I went, wait, they didn't do step 5, and then I was like, I guess they must have, I don't know, and then I was just like, oh, well, it doesn't matter, because I had already been unable to concentrate on the trees early on. When they were counting. And so I was like, I think I was unbothered. I was relaxed enough that I was unbothered about catching every detail.
Yeah.
That's what I'll say.
And I think you're probably supposed to be. Like, I think you're supposed to probably tune some things out and allow them to just be like rhythmic kind of things that are happening repetitively.
For sure. And I'll say, like, at the beginning, he tells you, like, when you're counting, like, backwards, like, I'm going to count with you, but I'm going to tell you some other stuff. And he goes, it doesn't really matter if you, like, pick up on it or not. So I felt like I had permission to miss things from that point on.
Then it says the voice told her to be physically and mentally relaxed. And so she does a check-in with herself and finds that her fingers, which are, like, laced across her stomach, are totally numb. And it feels like she has one big hand instead of two. Did you experience any, like, physical sensation kind of stuff?
I felt like incredibly physically relaxed.
Mm.
I felt less aware of like my body than I. Okay, so if you take like a yoga class or something, and then you get to like Shavasana or you do something like meditative and group fitness, I feel like all I notice is like every muscle that I have that twitches or like any sort of weird itch. And I remember thinking through this of like, wow, I feel very unbothered by my body right now. Like I think oftentimes when I'm trying to like meditate or relax, I like notice everything about my body.
That's what's distracting to me as well, usually.
And I was noticing nothing about my body.
That's incredible. I would probably smoke less weed if I had something that would do that. Okay.
Great. I mean, maybe you should watch this video. Okay.
Maybe I should. I don't know. Anyway, then she talks about the voice guiding her through different tunnels of light. I'm sure you did that. Then she goes to a timeline of her own life she's standing on. In front of her is supposed to be the future. And then like behind her is the past. And the voice tells her to float back to the point on her timeline before she watched Big Little Lies. And then turn around, looking ahead to point into the future where she wanted to watch it again for the first time.
Yeah, well, actually, they have you, even before you get to the future, it's like you go to the past where before you watched it, like right before you ever saw it. And then, and for me, that was easy because I binged it, like the show that I was trying to forget. So it was like, I'm like, I know, like I watched it in a month, so I know exactly when I watched it. And so it was like, I know exactly when it was right before
seeing
then.
That timeline.
Yeah, and then he brings you back to the future, and he goes, but we're going to do it really quickly. And he goes, so I want you to, like, you're going to, like, rapidly move from the timeline from right before you watch it to present.
Oh, okay.
And it makes this noise that he goes, like, blah, 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 yeah. like, basically. And he's like, okay, now you're in the present. And then from the present, then you go to where you think you want to watch it again.
Mm. Okay, with a clean brain.
Yeah, and you get another, like, blue.
As the fresh, clear water that flows throughout your body and your mind, rinsing and cleaning away everything that's not supposed to be there. And five, open your eyes and stretch a little and notice how good you feel.
And then that's like pretty much the end of her description of it. She says that Samsung recommends that you sleep on it before trying to dive back into your favorite show. So that
they do tell you that there's like some importance in not before they pull you out of the meditation, that they're like, remember that there is like importance to not just wanting to forget something, but also forgetting that you want to forget it. And so I do wonder if like, we're hearkening on this and I'm like, how much is that letting me forget that I want to forget? But then they say, then you should sleep on it and, you know, return to it at some point after that. And I'm like, yeah, I'm open to that.
Well, when you revisit the West Wing in a couple of weeks, let me know if you remember anything.
Yeah, dude, for sure. And I will also say, if like a physical body point, I just want to put something else in the timeline for me. I can paint my posture for you. I have like a chase couch that has like it's like my couch is like an L.
Yes.
And I was sitting on the chase part and my legs like stretched out, like crossed over each other and, you know, just like my hands at my sides while I was doing this. And then when they pulled me out of the meditation, and they do it like pretty quick, or meditation. I mean, hypnosis, I guess is what I'm supposed to say.
But actually, I've been saying meditation too much. It is a hypnosis.
It's a hypnosis, people. This is not meditation. What are we talking about? But I'm sure there's some overlap there. Mm-hmm. But they pull you up pretty quickly. But when they do, I had this whole moment where I started lifting my head up and I didn't realize I had like dropped my head.
Interesting, because that's a thing that people do when they're hypnotized, and it's part of like the susceptibility test is like how quickly like your hand falls and like if your head drops like fully to your chest or like are you slumped in your lap. Interesting.
I don't know how far down it was, but I remember like when they started like bringing feeling back, I like started lifting my head and it like took me a minute to lift it all the way up because it was like gradual. And I remember when I started doing it, I was like, I didn't even realize I had dropped my head forward.
And I've been there in yoga, but I think that's probably the only time. Or like sleeping on a Greyhound bus.
I have like, yeah, I'm sure I've dropped my head like when I was asleep, but I mean, I had real moments that I was like, am I the perfect candidate for hypnosis?
Because I think that you might be.
I think I might be. It was like instantaneous, which is why I started having those pool giggles because I was like, what is I like? The moment this guy started talking, I felt like I was feeling things. And I was like, this is whack. Like this isn't. And then I was like, oh my God, I think I'm about to be hypnotized. Like I like really felt like it was happening very quickly. And then I was like, is this safe to do alone?
And I didn't intend for you to do it alone. So I am glad
you
that
didn't intend
is
for
right.
me to do it at all.
I didn't.
Even better.
I just wanted you to hear the voice. That was like truly it.
Oh, well, I think that I don't know that I forgot a TV show. I really don't. But I do think I was hypnotized into a state of relaxation
Amazing.
That I was not previously experiencing. And I don't really know how to grapple with that. But I will say I did not. I feel like I can't say it was placebo because I had no expectation of being hypnotized. I wasn't even considering it. I thought I was just going to watch some like weird thing you sent me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, I think this thing is hypnotizing me. Like, I don't know, dude. It almost freaked me out a little bit.
And then it made me wonder
that
about
that existed.
Yes. And then I'm like, are all of Samsung's like motives good? Like if they're able to just like hypnotize people.
I know. Are they producing television? Are we being hypnotized by things we didn't even know about?
I've never felt that
relaxed watching TV, though. I just want to say, like, never in my life. I don't even know the last time I felt that relaxed.
Austin's
like,
going to go to sleep with the Samsung Unspoil Me.
I thought about it. I was like, this shit is crazy. And then I was like, honestly, I'm like, would I wake up? I don't know. But when they like talk you through that, and then at the end, when you like come back, they're like, notice how good you feel. And I was like, I do feel good. I was like, I do feel good. I do feel relaxed. Like, I don't know, y'all. I'm just saying, Unspoil Me. Wow, 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 wow. I feel like I was hypnotized.
Excellent. That honestly makes me want to do it, and we'll see.
I want you to do it. I want everyone I know to do it. Listeners, let us know.
Actually, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Please Google Samsung Unspoil Me. Safely do the meditation. Let someone know you're doing it if you live alone, and then let us know how it goes.
Don't do like Austin, just like hypnotized alone.
Ooh, yeah. All right. But so what's going on there? Like, you're potentially being hypnotized, like people with like stage hypnotists or sometimes like therapists will dabble in hypnotism. And that's its own thing. But what's going on like with your brain? So I found a study where they did some MRI tests on people who were hypnotized and people then that same group of people not hypnotized. And
this I'm so interested in. Like, I'm like, tell me everything because I really want to know.
Excellent. So
like how you get there, you know?
And it's, I don't know. We can talk about if we feel like it's conclusive or not. I don't think it's especially conclusive, but
sure.
They're sorry. So they chose 12 subjects that were highly susceptible to hypnosis. And we'll break that down in a minute, what highly susceptible means. And another separate 12 with low susceptibility.
Okay.
So they all completed something called the Stroop task, which is just like a series of like little like tasks where like maybe you like draw a box or like move something into a different spot, just like general like tasks that.
Okay, interesting. I haven't heard of this before, but I'm ready for it. Okay.
It's called the Stroop task, if you ever want to look it up. Anyway,
sure.
Anyway.
Not?
So they're basically having these people perform a series of tasks, hypnotized or not hypnotized, with high or low susceptibility, and they're watching their brains while it happens. So throughout the study, both groups were consistent in their task results. So they all did kind of the same on their tests, regardless of their mental state. Everyone performed similarly.
Which makes me think the tasks are very straightforward.
I think they're very, very simple. So during the first task session, which was before hypnosis, so they did it regular first, there were no significant differences in the brain activity between the high susceptible group and the low susceptible group. So everybody looks the same, not hypnotized. But then once they hypnotized them, they found that the highly susceptible subjects showed significantly more brain activity in something called, oh boy, here comes brain words for me.
Here we go.
the anterior cingulate gyrus.
Okay.
All right.
Gyration. Mm.
So they found significantly more activity in that area in the highly susceptible people rather than the weakly susceptible people. And what that area of the brain has been shown to, it's been shown to respond to errors and to evaluate emotional outcomes. So people are having more activity in an area that's like processing like potentially what could happen emotionally or like, am I doing something wrong?
Okay.
Then the highly susceptible group also showed much greater brain activity on the left side of the prefrontal cortex than the weakly susceptible group. This area is involved with higher level cognitive processing and behavior. So that's the area that develops like in your late teens when you like become a real person.
Yeah. Okay, totally. And you know what? I'm just even thinking about this a little bit, like the stuff you said from the beginning that like the results didn't vary.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me is like, the test would be if people who were not under the influence of hypnosis, who were like weakly susceptible, could be like counteractive. Do you know what I mean?
Like if they could resist hypnosis?
Yeah.
And there is,
But I don't know how you would test that exactly.
And that's kind of where this stuff falls apart, I feel like, because you can't really prove any of that. It's like when we talk about cryptids, like absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. And so how do you prove that?
Exactly.
And I don't know, that's the frustrating part about hypnosis. And maybe later, like we talked about it up top, like maybe we'll understand, like if there's something electromagnetic, something just like with our listening that's going on, that's causing us to be hypnotized, or maybe it's totally placebo, but I feel that it's not totally placebo.
I certainly didn't feel like it was a placebo earlier today.
Yeah. I mean, at the very least, certain people are having, slightly altered brain functioning due to hypnosis is what this test
tells
us.
I felt like that happened. And I honestly, I'm still not convinced that it's going to make any impact about like watching a TV show. But I really feel like it put me into a deep state of relaxation that felt a little bit outside of my control, to be honest.
Interesting. So not successful in a goal-driven kind of hypnotic way. But
well, I haven't proven or disproven
that. Well, that's true. I don't want to count that egg yet. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I can't. I can't count it either way. I'm not convinced that it'll do that, but I'm certainly convinced that whatever that guy was saying like quickly put me into a relaxation state that I didn't even feel like I was conscious of mm-hmm. willing myself towards.
Yeah. God, that's,
you know, because sometimes we try and relax and we're like trying to do mm-hmm. it, and I felt like this was happening outside of me, that I was just being relaxed without trying.
You're a passive party.
Yeah, I kind of felt like wow. I was, to be honest.
So, is Austin susceptible? Let us break it down.
Let's break it down. It certainly felt that way. I was like, oh no, I'm easily hypnotized. Guys, don't get any ideas, honestly.
So there is a Harvard and Stanford scale of hypnotizability, which is a hard word to say.
Okay.
And this I found on Wikipedia, but you can also find it on many other, what you may consider more reputable sites, but I like this one. So they summarize these studies for us and say that individuals of extreme high hypnotizability, so people who are the most easy to hypnotize.
Potentially me. Go on.
So the Austins of the world tend to have distinctive characteristics outside of just what goes on during hypnosis. So like something's different about them generally.
Oh, no. Help.
So in 1981, a woman named Cheryl Wilson, shout out to female researchers, and
shout out to Cheryl,
TX Barber, reported that most of a group of extremely high hypnotizables, who they termed, quote, fantasizers, exhibited a cluster of traits consisting of 1, fantasizing much of the time, 2, reporting their imagery was as vivid as real perceptions, 3. Mm. And this is not during hypnosis. This is at any time.
I do fantasize a lot of the time. So the first one I identify with, the imagery, I'm not sold on yet.
Okay. 3, having physical responses to their imagery. 4, having an earlier than average age for a first childhood memory. That's me. But
that's definitely you. I don't know that that's me. I don't know that mine's earlier than average.
And honestly, breaking these down, I don't know that I agree with these for you either, other than fantasizing and maybe enjoying a bit of placebo play, if you will.
I might enjoy a bit of placebo play. I didn't feel placebo about this. I'll say that. I feel like I do daydream, like, mm-hmm. in an extreme way. And I have, like, even to the point, I'll do that sometimes, like, in a way that I do feel myself, like, I don't want to say, like, leave the plane, but, like, mm-hmm. I found myself particularly at, like, jobs that I perhaps was a little understimulated at.
Sure.
That I have felt so engrossed in a daydream
mm-hmm.
with some regularity that I really almost felt like I was there, like, and then like was jolted back to like the fact that I was like,
oh yeah. And then you see the room again all of a sudden.
Yeah. 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 So if that's what they're saying about
that,
being,
is what
like,
they're
physically
saying
in their fantasy. Like, I certainly identify with that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent. Checks out after all. So Recalling number five, recalling quote imaginary playmates from childhood. I will say I only had Jesus as an imaginary playmate. I didn't have any others.
I almost feel like I still do in some kind of capacity. Hear me out. I know that sounded alarming, but like, I'm a real external processor and I talk out loud a lot. And when I work through stuff, oftentimes I have like conversations in my head, not with fictitious people, but with real people in my life, but they're not really present.
There's a psychology term for that I can't remember right. Precognition? I know that's not important.
But you play something out in your head to kind of preview how it could go. Right. I think that's like a coping strategy and like a way that people process things. But to me, that's kind of like adult imaginary friend play a little bit.
It is a little bit. Yeah. And I would say it's probably the same parts of the brain.
I don't anticipate happening in conversations I won't have.
Sure. Yeah. We definitely all do that.
Yeah. Right. So I'm like, I could lean into that a little bit. I never had like a specific imaginary friend, though. I always think of like DW on Arthur and what, Nydia? Nadine. Was that her?
Yeah.
That was her imaginary friend.
Nadine.
And those two, like that to me is like so specific. And I never had an imaginary friend like that.
No, I didn't either.
I feel like I've always been playing out like interpersonal scenarios like they were happening.
Yes. You know? Yes, yes, yes. So those are the six, or sorry, then number six, having grown up with parents who encouraged imaginative play can lead her to later high hypnosis susceptibility, apparently. Then we fast forward.
I don't know that I would say my parents were particularly like.
Your dad's a chemist. It's not maybe in
his wheelhouse.
Exactly.
My dad's so analytical. I feel like that wasn't my house. What about you? Do you feel like you were pushed to imaginative play?
Probably. I was an only child, so.
You had no choice.
It's a lot of imaginative play, I will say.
Sure.
But yeah, okay. I do. I feel like it was somewhat encouraged, but also just like very much a necessity and a coping strategy.
Heard.
Yeah. So fast forward 10 years to 1991 and another female researcher, Deidre Barrett.
Shout out to the ladies.
examined a larger group of extremely high hypnotizables and confirmed that about 60% fit what Barber and Wilson had previously characterized as fantasizers, while the other 40% were what Deidre termed, quote, disassociators.
I feel like I'm a fantasizer, but go on.
So the breakdown of disassociators is they experience daydreaming mostly as spacing out, and they often don't remember what they've been thinking about or what's been going on for like long periods of those spacing out times.
That's not happening to me.
That happens to me sometimes.
Yeah, I could see that.
Two, they had a later than average age for their first memory. So rather than like the fantasizers having like an early first memory, the disassociating group has a late first memory.
I also don't think that's me. I think when I talk to other people about my memories, I feel like mine feel very average age range.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too, for you. You feel right in line there. So then number three, they had parents who had been harshly punitive and/or they had experienced other childhood traumas. So fantasizers tend to experience hypnosis as being much like other imaginative activities, while disassociators reported that it was unlike anything they'd ever experienced. Individuals with dissociative identity disorder have the highest hypnotizability of any clinical group, followed by those with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Sure.
Most susceptible.
Unfortunately. Yeah, makes sense.
It is unfortunate. And this is my chosen transition. I'm going to say, speaking of post-traumatic stress.
I'm sure.
Let's talk about MKUltra.
Let's talk about MKUltra. Wow, you've been waiting all episode to transition us that way. And you know what? I'm not mad at you. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's talk about
MKUltra. Let's do it.
So MKUltra is not specifically concerned with hypnosis, but they did do some experiments and testing regarding hypnosis. If you don't know what MKUltra is,
Give us a light synopsis. I'm ready for it.
You can give it a quick Google, but it was a classified.
Oh, you're like, nope.
I mean, it's a big thing, but it's a classified project from like the mid century. I can't remember like all of the details, but basically it was a conspiracy theory for a long time that MKUltra existed, and they were trying to create like super spies.
Right.
And there's also like a Russian version of this. It's kind of like Cold War era spy nonsense.
For sure.
And so MKUltra, you hear a lot about the government testing LSD on people and seeing if they can alter memories or behavior, or if they're able to control people or like create controllable soldiers through psychedelics.
100%. And we talked about that on the psilocybin episode.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Shout out to that. If you want to pop back, it's a fun one.
I mean, basically MKUltra at its core is just like CIA mind control.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And so hypnosis, like, of course, that's something that they're going to look at. So in a declassified report from MKUltra on hypnosis, because now some of these files are available, this hypnosis file is available specifically because they concluded that hypnosis is not a viable weapon or tool for them. So they're like not really worried about keeping that a secret. So
sure.
What did they do? This study like blew my mind. But it's MKUltra, so whatever. So they had a woman come in and while she was hypnotized, they were trying to figure out like if someone has awareness of like real or not real, like when they're hypnotized, like what are the limits of what someone will do?
Because
like people take like their pants off on stage and like kiss strangers and like do inappropriate shit, but it's like not
right. It's the guy on Kimmel I referenced who they like made piss himself.
Yes, yes, yes. And studies on like those situations have shown that people usually only perform that way under public hypnosis if they're already expecting to do something like that when hypnotized. So it kind of...
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that kind of plays out as like whatever you were willing to do when you walked in the room knowing hypnosis was on the table.
I will throw this out there, though, anecdotally about the Kimmel situation and like the hypnotist they've had on there repeatedly. He's kind of well known. I need to look up his name. I don't know it offhand. But he, like, I think at least once, but maybe more than once, while he was trying to like hypnotize Jimmy and who is Jimmy's sidekick?
Oh, God. It's been too long.
I can see his face. But anyway. He accidentally hypnotized one of the cameramen. Like, one of the cameramen, like, was, like, clearly hypnotized, but, like, he wasn't the target.
That's amazing. That's like your cat getting hypnotized by proxy.
Right. I kind of wondered if my cat... I do feel like Poppy felt very zen with me, but
I'm not sure.
Yeah. We can't know.
What if she's just, like,
I wonder if she, too,
hypnotized.
Will forget her favorite TV show.
I hope she does. I really hope she does.
I don't know what that would be.
I don't know. Definitely not cats. Definitely not.
We don't watch that in this house. Are you
kidding? No. Only in eighth grade English. So back to MKUltra. So they do this study and there's a woman who they bring in who is the subject and she is hypnotized in the MKUltra lab. And then she's given like a series of instructions. And they escalate in kind of like social inappropriateness until they get to...
Oh, wow.
She has to kill some other people who are in the room. And so they have actors in there who are the people who will be murdered by her. And on the table for her to use as weapons, they have sugar pills that they tell her are arsenic or some other poison. And they have a rubber knife. And the idea is that, like, because she's under, she can't, like, really tell the difference between those things and, like, thinks that it's real. She plays it out and she kills all of those people. And she like aggressively stabs them with a rubber knife and hands other people the sugar pills and watches them take them. And they're actors, obviously, so they're playing along. But she full goes through with it.
Oh, wow. This is deeply disturbing to me. That's surface level. And I'm wondering where else this story is going as now I'm a little stressed out. Okay.
So after these murders, they say... that her next instruction is to take her clothes off. To which she responds, no, and won't do it. And they tell her to do it again, and she just won't move. She's just, like, standing still, won't do it. And to shorten up the summary and conclusions of this study, they basically said that they determined that she could have some maintained awareness of something that was real and something that was not real. So she must have had some sense that killing those people was not real, but that, like, that's real nudity if she takes her clothes off in that room.
Yeah. Okay. That makes me feel better that, like, she wouldn't have actually killed someone.
I don't think, like, I hope she could tell the difference, but,
yeah. I feel like if she wasn't willing to take her clothes off, she wouldn't have actually been willing to kill someone.
I know. Yeah, I do too. So hopefully she knew that it was also, kind though, of rubber.
I can't imagine even under...
horribly traumatizing, previous, but that's MK Ultra's game.
I mean, truly, I was going to say is like, that's the thing I kind of question there in terms of, I don't know, it's just like, I'm
it's not an ethical like study.
No, that's, thank you. That's like, I'm just like, yeah, it's not an ethical study. And then I do feel some kind of way that it just, it feels like it plays at some fundamental, like, bits of humanity that feel very hard to grapple with of, like, you wouldn't make yourself vulnerable in, like, a real fake way, but you were, like, open to doing that to other people, and that feels weird. But I have to think that there was some part of her that knew, like, killing those other people was fake. But at the same time,
I question
can you
it.
Imagine under hypnosis pretending to kill someone?
No.
I can't. No. I'm not comfortable with the idea of, like, pretending to stab someone with a rubber knife.
And then my body remembers that? No.
Yeah. No, I think that, I mean, unless I'm, like, working on some stage combat and, you know, doing a low-budge high school Shakespearean drama, I'm not interested.
Me either. So, the conclusion was that, along the lines of hypnosis being an ineffective method, as I said, for war or intelligence, because it's difficult or maybe impossible to get a hypnotized person to do something that they don't actually want to do deep down or didn't expect to do. And so as a result, these reports were later declassified and the project was allegedly abandoned.
Right. Huh.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it makes sense and it's good that they abandon it, but I'm also like, I have a lot of questions, so I kind of wish there were more data.
Yeah, and we can dig into some of that in another episode, but I did manage to get some websites that have many of those declassified reports.
I mean, listen,
and many things are blacked out. But
sure. And we've said it about many things across many seasons, but MK Ultra is truly a whole nother episode.
It's like maybe another series that we do at another time as like a six part separate, like bookended show. Yeah.
I don't know. Open to it. I'm intrigued.
I'm open to it too. I would learn more. And then we could talk about KGB. That was the Russian version where they were also making like very intense spies. Anyway. So, in conclusion, we really don't understand hypnosis. People can argue all day about it being a separate state of consciousness or not. But as we can see, there's not a ton of conclusive research yet. Something's definitely happening for people.
I felt like if nothing else, it just was like a very deep... we use the word meditation a bunch, but maybe that's really what I felt like it was. It was like the best, like most influential guided meditation I've ever experienced.
Wow. Thank you, Samsung, actually.
Honestly, I would encourage everybody to listen to it. And like maybe it has no effect on you or maybe you are on the level with me. But I didn't even know that's what I was putting on and like expect not to be deeply relaxed. Honestly, most of the time I imagine YouTube will elevate my heart rate rather than lower it.
That's a good, rule of thumb there.
For sure it is. I don't know. I had an unexpected experience.
That's amazing. I'm so happy that you did that. But hypnotic therapy can apparently be very helpful for things such as PTSD, anxiety, and quitting smoking, among other things.
Takes us back to psilocybin.
It does.
Psilocybin. I'm like, hello.
Yeah, help. So we have another way to quit smoking. But yeah.
So many ways to quit smoking. Yeah.
So many. Do you have any other questions about hypnosis or feelings?
No, but wow, I'm so glad I misread your text.
I am too. That's the best thing that could have happened for this. That's incredible. Thank you so much. So then without further ado, I'm going to cue the vibraphone.
Cue it.
And transition to a verbal game. So tonight, this is maybe a new game, a twist on an old game.
Oh, I love this. Introduce a new verbal game. Let's bring it.
This is called You Must Choose Two.
Oh, I like this. This feels right. I feel like we've played this in our personal life probably, but just hasn't come to the forefront of the podcast, which I feel like lately has mostly been three choices with rules. So I'm ready to play with another number.
So I'm going to give you three choices, but you have to choose two of them.
Choose two. Yeah.
So these are all ways that you'll be hypnotized, scenarios. So you could be hypnotized.
Hypnotic episodes.
Yes, hypnotic, absolutely. Austin's hypnotic experience, that's what it was.
That's what I want. Yeah, okay, bring it.
So at home, alone, hypnotized by your television. So similar to what you did today.
I was going to say, so earlier today, go on.
Earlier today. So I didn't think you were actually going to do that, and I thought you'd have some fears about it when I wrote this question.
I did have some fears about it while it was happening. I was like, is this safe to do alone? I did think to myself, like, is this okay? But I was like, Jamie told me to do it. And then
I became
your favorite version of your friend, which is just where I do things with reckless abandon. You tell me
it's
to.
It's like, I've hypnotized you.
Honestly, like a little bit. Like, maybe you have. There's still some things I won't do that Jamie wants me to do, and we can't discuss all of them. But usually when she asks me to do something, I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. Of course, you asked me, I'll do this. I'm too giving.
No matter how dumb. Second choice. In a crowded city park where a hypnotist is doing an impromptu show. Third choice. At an elementary school fair, such as Springfest, in our hometown.
I love this. So I love that you mentioned Springfest, too, which was truly, for those of you not of our specific middle and high school experiences, Springfest was basically just the carnival that raised money for the school district that we were a part of.
It's in the school parking lot.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously I'm going to choose. Apparently I'm fine with being hypnotized by my television.
Clearly.
Alone. Although I will say that was like a little freaky.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like either like big city experience or like local experience.
So basically like in a city, like city situation, but with strangers. And then you have like smaller, but still like a lot of people. And then like, but they're people who you knew from growing up, some of them.
Yeah. And I really think that I would take like the like larger crowd, more anonymity kind of perspective, because I feel like if I were to do this at specifically Springfest,
I got electrocuted there, just as a brief anecdote.
Oh yeah, you did. I forgot about that. You did get electrocuted. Oh man, I hadn't thought about that in years. Wow, Jamie did get electrocuted on a ride at Springfest. Oh fuck, I love how jank some of that stuff was. Okay.
Oh my god.
I forgot about the time you got electrocuted. Okay. Wow. I also remember how, like, important it was for me to, whenever I went to Springfest, to wear, like, just, like, the most, like, favorite shirt I owned. Mm-hmm. Like, it was very important.
You had to save that shirt
Shout
for that day.
Shout out to sixth grade.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You had to save it. Mm. Shout out to sixth grade. Okay. Yeah, I really do think I would take the public forum because I'm here for the anonymity. I also feel like just based on, I mean, we even anecdotally just threw it back to your electrocution, that I just feel like I'd be a more controlled, safer environment, probably with a better hypnotist on like a larger stage. It's just like one woman's opinion.
This is just a hypnotist who wandered into a park and started an impromptu show.
Oh, an impromptu show?
Yes, an impromptu show.
Rather than
the one at Springfest is planned, and they're like,
oh, I'm sorry, I think I missed that very crucial detail. I actually think that might fully change my answer. Wow, I just really glossed over that. Impromptu show, yeah, no, I think I do take the staged performer though, even though it's at a place that I have friends who were electrocuted by rides. Yeah, no, I'm gonna go with the guy who's hired.
Okay,
although like we can't know how reputable he is.
No, we
don't. Listen, Josh Groban, if you will,
I
played the violin in the subway. It's like, you impromptu doesn't mean less talented.
Now she's arguing for the
now I'm arguing the other side of things that I'm like, what? How do we know this wasn't the greatest hypnotist, like, living of our time, of all time, who just happened to be like, I'm feeling like doing a little fun pro bono work. But you can't know.
You can't.
But I also think, like, if he sucked and was doing an impromptu show, I wouldn't be hypnotized.
That is a very good point.
I'm going to go with the impromptu city. That just sounds like culturally weird. Honestly, I don't know if I'd want to do it. It sounds very weird, but I still somehow feel better about that than like my local fair for school. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think? What is your whole feeling about this?
I think that my first choice is at home alone with my television, even though I feel like that it would be the most disorienting experience.
It does feel like a bit of a risk. Speaking of someone who did it earlier,
like, no embarrassment factor, but like maybe highest, I don't know, the crowded city park, like the hypnotist you don't know about, that seems like high risk also. But like, then I was electrocuted at Springfest. It's not like
you were electrocuted at Springfest. Standards. I mean, that's very telling. The standards there are not great. I will say this, what if, okay, like, am I being hypnotized in a crowded city park in an impromptu way, but, like, you're with me, like, or, like, some other friend? Like, we're just, like, having a stroll through the park, and then, like, an impromptu hypnotism thing breaks out, and I'm like, sure, I'll do it, but you're watching?
No. I'm not.
I'm alone in the park, then.
You are, like, you might have some people that you know from your neighborhood that are, like, in that city park, but you don't, like, have anyone with you in any of these situations.
Well, that is so unjust. That seems unsafe. This is like a PSA, like, kids, don't get hypnotized alone. Honestly.
But seriously, though, it's like kind of the equivalent of roofies. Like, you gotta have a buddy.
I will say, I don't think I would have, if somebody had asked me to do a bunch of stuff while watching the Samsung thing, I don't think that I would have. I do just think it made me feel deeply relaxed in a way I was unprepared for.
And jury's out on if you forget the West Wing.
Yeah, jury's completely out about the West Wing, but I feel like if somebody had come in and been like, Austin, do whatever, if he had started to tell me to do things, like, I wouldn't have done them. I at no point felt like unconscious of what was happening, although I did miss numbers and some dialogue because I think just deep relaxation.
Yeah, and I think you're supposed to.
And a wandering mind, which happens when we daydream, you know?
And that kind of reminds me of like the format of kind of too much going on to really focus on one thing and it being okay to like relax into not hearing all of it. Reminds me of that Sleep With Me podcast.
I love, listen, if anybody, I've recommended this to more than one person in my heyday.
And we've definitely talked about it.
I feel like we've definitely talked about it. I don't know if we've talked about it on microphones, but listen, if you're looking for like the Ben Stein of podcast land to lull you to sleep, I do recommend Sleep With Me. That is a great podcast. He just tells a nonsensical story that is sweeter than counting sheep by
it
a long
is
shot.
So good. Nonsensical. You can't follow it. You just relax.
It feels meditative, but not hypnotic.
Yeah. But the same kind of like something rhythmic, kind of white noise for your brain to like relax into.
Yeah, and I guess that's my question about my experience with Samsung is like, was it meditative or hypnotic? I feel
and
like
what's
I
the line there?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know, but I'm going to do the meditation and report back. Maybe it'll be a cold open soon.
We'll report back. We'll let you know if I remember my show and if Jamie, you know, was susceptible or if she was like, this is a bunch of bullshit and Austin's crazy.
I'm big fantasizer and disassociator, though, so I feel like I'm susceptible.
If anything, like, based on the, I thought it was going to say that the prompts were going to make me feel like I was more susceptible to hypnosis, but then when I heard what qualified one, I was like, I think Jamie's more susceptible. Yeah, for sure. What, are you the same thing? Do you agree?
Yeah, I think once we started, like, breaking it down and walking through them, like, yes, you are susceptible, and then I think maybe you have more, as I mentioned, placebo play feelings than me, but I think probably, like, real brain susceptibility to hypnosis, it's me.
Yeah, but I guess the only thing I would argue with this is, like, I feel like I'm more placebo play in life, but I don't think I was placebo-y about this.
No, especially since you didn't even really know what it was when I sent it.
Yeah, I didn't know
but maybe
I was really
that
about
made
to be
your
hypnotized.
Mind extra open. You had no preconceived notions about what that was.
That's also legit.
Interesting. Well, we can never recreate that because for you, if
we
you're
can.
Listening,
yeah.
You already know what the hypnosis is about, so... We've spoiled
it. Sorry about you.
But if...
Oh, you... But I get... Maybe you could listen to this unspoiled thing and unspoil this podcast and then enter some sort of cyclical experience.
And then you're in a time loop. Amazing.
Wow.
We just figured out how to create a wormhole. Yes.
We just hacked the world. We just solved the world.
We did. We solved the future because there isn't one. You'll stay in this restricted time loop.
What are we doing? Solving the future.
So hopefully that doesn't stress you out, but do let us know how your hypnotic experiences go, or if you've had them before. We would love to hear about it. And where should they shout at us?
As always, you can get at us with your hypnotic experiences or anything else really you're noodling on at any given time.
Or send us the drink hypnotic.
Oh, wow. No thanks. That stuff's weird.
It really looks like potion. Go ahead.
It's they really went full Hogwarts.
They did.
We're
that silver ribbon.
Harry Potter books and then drink hypnotic. It's going to be a whole wild event. Anyway, let us know about your anti-Hogwarts full hypnotic experience on the internet. As always, you can find us via email at whyyoulikethispod@gmail.com, on Instagram at whyyoulikethispod, or on Twitter at WAYLTTweets. And, thank you. Good morning, good night, good evening, and we'll see you next time.
We will. Goodbye.
Bye.